just be our thing.
That would be our, that's our new sync up thing.
All right.
You just saw that. Anyway, I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast, episode 6.
Boom. 6.
6, that's half a dozen.
That's freaky.
Yeah.
That was not rehearsed.
We've been doing this for too long, apparently. And we haven't been doing it for that long.
No.
Anyway, last podcast we talked about inspiration, but today we want to talk about volunteering.
Yeah.
And specifically, how to be a volunteer, why to volunteer, some of the volunteering that we've done, as opposed to how to manage volunteers, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
So, icebreaker. Lots of charities and nonprofits use wristbands. I have one.
I have one.
And Ryan, what is your wristband for?
So, mine's from the KW Community Foundation, and they have something called RAC, Random Act of Kindness Day.
I always think of the monsters from Borderlands.
So do I, especially once I started playing heavier to get ready for headshots last year. And full disclosure, I have never participated in the formal RAC activities out in the community. I'm usually at work or somewhere else where I'm not able to get out to where the foundation is. But why I wear this one in particular, and it wasn't something that I started wearing it, but it was the reason why I keep wearing it and why I never take it off, is I really do believe in that random act of kindness and the idea of paying it forward, and this kind of ties in with volunteering without any expectation of getting return. Like, I don't even subscribe to karma, that if I do something good will be visited upon me. I just do it so that hopefully when I wear it on my wrist, that one time it will remind me to do just, like, go a little bit of extra and do something nice for somebody. So I have, you know, paid for people's coffee, like strangers' people coffee, you know, like here's like $10 or whatever, pay for however many coffees,
as opposed to strange people's coffee, which is when Ryan buys me coffee.
Yeah,
I don't drink coffee,
so it just little things like that. So it doesn't, like, I don't always think about it. A lot of times I forget that it's there because I wear it all the time, I never take it off. But you know, it just serves as a reminder to that, you know, you can always be more kind, you can always do kinder things to people around you. So, and that's ultimately what Random Act of Kindness Day is about, is just giving us, it's like, I don't know, in some sense it's like Valentine's Day. You can be cynical about Valentine's Day, but at the very least it's one day devoted to recognizing the importance of one particular thing.
We did a video about that. You can find the link over Ryan's face.
So, and Random Act of Kindness Day is the same thing. People will criticize it, that you should be kind every day, and that's the point of it. You're supposed to be kind every day. However, it doesn't hurt to take one day to try to remember, to just do this, and then maybe it inspires you to do it the rest of the time. But anyways, that's me. Jim, what about yours?
Yeah, so mine says DFTBA. I'll hold it up to the camera on a weird angle. And it is not actually for charity, although the Vlog Brothers, Hank and John Green, do run the Foundation to Decrease World Suck, which I will, of course, link below, along with Random Act of Kindness Day. But DFTBA is Don't Forget to Be Awesome. I got this when I was in California at VidCon, and I was super nervous and super scared. It was my first time traveling that far alone, and I was in a foreign country, and I was all by myself, and I had to make new friends and be an extrovert and all kinds of things. And I paid $5 for this bracelet, which seems like a lot, but honestly, best $5 I ever spent, because it just sits on my wrist and reminds me that I should not forget to be awesome. Because when I am not awesome, it is not because I am not awesome, it is because I have forgotten, and I need to remember. And if for more on that, you can go back to our last episode where we talked about art and inspiration, because that's what helps us remember. But yeah, volunteering. I guess we should establish our street cred first, in terms of what kind of volunteering we've done and where we've done it. We are reasonably veteran volunteers, I think, for men of our age.
Yeah.
So what are some of the places you've volunteered?
So historically, I guess I could maybe start historically with volunteering. So my volunteering experience largely was born out of being involved in youth organizations. So Beavers, Cubs, a little bit into Scouts, and then eventually I got into Cadets, and Cadets segued into the Duke of Edinburgh Award Program, which I can link to the bottom if you're interested. So in those organizations, whether you realize it at the time, or in my case, I realized it heavily after the fact, it is largely built on doing volunteer work. So if you're out planting trees, collecting donations for the poppy funds, Even when you're out camping, just doing general garbage cleanup and whatnot, it's all built on volunteering. They don't tell you we're going out to volunteer. It's always framed as, here's our mission, or here's something we're going to do, or we're going to go out and sell these things to raise money, fundraising, whatnot. But ultimately, you're always doing it in the spirit of volunteering. So I did that from when I was a wee little lad all the way up until, 22, 23. And then once I hit university, I started to pick and choose the things that I got involved with. So heavily in university, I was involved with, outside of the philosophy department, that is, the university's first aid team. So I got involved with that in my third year, and that extended into grad school. And then outside of school, I got involved with the air show, a cancer support center. What else? Well, Headshots has been a fairly big one. And then the most recent one is I joined an ethics board. The Community Research Ethics Office has a board that does third-party reviews of applications for studies, like community-based studies. And all we do is re-review the study to ensure ethical compliance. We don't actually have the power to shut down the studies, but we act as kind of friendly counsel to help people understand what is involved in ethical considerations when it comes to human subjects. So I've kind of progressed from the basic level grunt work, and now I'm progressing up the ladder, a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more obligation onto me, until finally I'm on an ethics board, which is very much high level kind of volunteering. So
yeah, I never thought about Cubs and whatnot as volunteer work, but yeah, I guess my mom's had me volunteering for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I think I got my start apart from Cubs and Beavers, which I did when I was very young, mm-hmm. so I'd hardly count it. But when I was about 15, 16, my mom and I started working in cat rescue.
Mm.
And because we were cat people. We don't have any cats anymore because we have a new apartment and we don't have time for cats. But we did a lot of work. We've had probably 1,000 cats in the past 15 years that, we did a lot of work with feral and semi-social cats, and then we would foster them and adopt them out. Mm. We worked with Pet Patrol, who are super fun. And if you're in Waterloo region and looking for a cat, they have awesome, adorable cats. But yeah, I mean, that didn't really entail a lot, but playing with cats and sort of being inside my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I really started volunteering seriously until, I guess on campus, I was involved with some student societies and whatnot in my last year.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I made some really community-oriented friends who helped show me the value of volunteering. And so I spent a lot of time doing it with them. I sat on a couple of committees. I volunteered at the same cancer support center as Ryan. Ryan, I think, was actually the one that recruited me. It was Michelle. It was in your bar.
Brendan, yeah.
No, I hadn't met Brendan yet.
Oh,
we'll do a whole podcast about Brendan. We'll get him on for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun.
But and then from I went pretty much from there to running Headshots, and I've done a lot less volunteering because I'm now organizing.
Hmm.
But I am in the near future, hopefully, actually, much of that will be resolved by the time this podcast goes up. I'm looking to serving on a couple of boards, one for Quartz Lab and becoming a trustee for the KW Awesome Foundation, helping support local community projects and things like that. Because I have been hauling chairs for too long, and I have grown. I love coming down and hauling chairs and helping set up and tear down an event, but sometimes I want more than that, and that is where hopefully this is the direction it's going to take me. But yeah, I'm not the next level volunteer that you are, quite clearly, but
I don't know about next level, but it's kind of interesting listening to your story and then reflecting on mine, as you're telling yours. We both had a transition, it seemed, coming out of university, of now that we're done with our little on-campus environment, we turned our eye outwards. Because I mean, that's ultimately how you and I really got introduced. We were in classes together, and I knew you as the guy who had the really weird ethical
Oh my god.
Case study examples. And you had your shaved head in combat pants.
But
one time, just as a
hair.
Just as a personal story, one time I asked Jim, you know, like, Jim, you seem to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the community for events and things, probably largely just a byproduct of being on Twitter, and I wasn't on Twitter at the time. So I asked you, you know, like, how do you get involved? And you're like, do you have 2 hours? Because I'm going to an event right now. And that's when I went out and I started meeting people who are more community minded. So once I kind of, I found the same thing happened going from high school to university. Like, I was in high school, then eventually I stuck around for a fifth year, because in Ontario we had 5 years and then 4 years, but I stuck around for a fifth year. But midway during my fifth year, I kind of outgrew the community and I outgrew the high school, and I was ready for a bigger pond, went off to university. But I stuck on campus for a number of years. Then finally, when I was finishing up, especially in grad school, I outgrew that pond and I was looking for something bigger to sink my teeth into. And I turned my eye towards the community. And it wasn't until, like, I got involved with you, I started working and, like, just working instead of being a student. And then through Engage and whatnot, just being exposed to the number of charities and nonprofits that my desire to help out and contribute really started to grow.
I just want to point out that the end result of this is that we're sitting in my room recording a podcast. I'm wearing a Power Rangers shirt. You're sitting on an ethics board wearing a bow tie.
Yeah, and
one of us is winning.
I forgot my sonic screwdriver at home.
But... yeah, no, that's actually really cool. I did not realize that I had had such a that moment had had such a profound effect.
It's interesting when you think back to the decisions that lead you to where you are. I mean, for me, going to Kenya was what got me into grad school and doing first aid. But getting into the community, a large part of it was just interacting with you.
Oh.
And I have no idea what would have happened otherwise.
I'm super flattered by that.
Oh, I'm glad.
touching moments on the Concert Crucible podcast. We're having feels here.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the other things, but to get away from the feels, because we're a manly man and we do not have feels.
We have beards.
Yeah, well, we have beards. I actually have more of a beard this week. That's weird. It's a translation. I should shave. But is how to be a good volunteer. And this is something we both did the KW Engage program. We've talked about it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot involved in being a good volunteer. Mm-hmm. And when I say volunteer, what I mean is someone that sits on, like, a committee or below. I mean, if you're hauling chairs for an event or helping set up or taking cash or selling sodas or manning draw tickets or something like that, all the way up to, you know, doing planning and organizing fundraising. Once you start organizing your own charity events and start managing your own volunteers, at that point I think you're an organizer, not a volunteer.
Yeah, and
you are still a volunteer in some sense.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and at that level, there's a whole new level of responsibility and obligation that goes into it. It much more gets demanded of you at the managerial level than it does at the...
Yeah, once you start managing volunteers, this is a whole different thing, and you get it from a different side. And we'll talk about that in a little while. Mm-hmm. Maybe the end of season one. But, I mean, there's a bit in sort of how to be a good volunteer. Yeah. And my thing with this is, especially with Headshots from the Heart, I've been managing the volunteers for us for 2 years now, and we're going to a third. And there's sort of there's a continuum of volunteers, and we tend to get people on one end or the other, which is way over here because you can't actually see my other hand because Ryan is super large.
Yeah.
But I did ask for a supersized co-host. and the continuum relates to supervision. You get volunteers that don't need any supervision, and you get volunteers that need lots of supervision. And I don't think that the people who need lots of supervision are bad volunteers.
No.
Volunteers are amazing. They come out. 90% of charity events would not happen without volunteers. Mm. They are essential, and they are much loved. People, volunteers who need less supervision are definitely better volunteers than volunteers that need more, partly because there's already a lot of stuff going on at an event, and you only have X amount of attention to spread around. Mm-hmm. And once your command structure gets suitably complicated, things get really complicated. Mm-hmm. But, and so how to be a good volunteer, I think, tends to focus on how to move yourself along that continuum, how to need less and less supervision. That often also means how to take on more responsibility. Mm-hmm. But it can be as simple as being that person who if it's gonna get, if you say it's gonna get done, it's as good as done. Mm-hmm. You know, or
your word is your bond.
Your word is your bond, or having done slightly more homework, so being really informed about the event, being able to talk about it with guests or with other people, mm-hmm. Is always really useful. Mm-hmm. And that's something like we really push hard on that with headshots, because we've got people up in front of the camera and we've got like 16 people coming in and out, and they're rattling off auctions, and there's a ton of stuff to keep track of. And it can be a real challenge. Ryan can attest to that, because he's been doing it for 2 years running.
Yeah, definitely. Sitting in front trying to be entertaining while keeping everything running oh, smoothly. Yeah. Like, well, actually, I have a perfect example of that. So the first year you asked me to do headshots, it was largely because I had experience being a karaoke host. Mm-hmm. So I was comfortable standing in front of a room of people. In this case, it would have to be cyberspace, who may or may not be intoxicated, much in the way you are at the, not you, but people are at the bar.
Yeah.
But I had a skill set that Jim needed for the hosting side of it. So he asked me to do it because he could rely on me to, you know, just stick.
He does have a particular set of skills.
I guess so.
He will find you. He will sing to you.
So he figured, you know, you just sit me down in front of a camera, let me go. He trusts me to use the right kind of language and connect with people in a particular kind of way.
And then not talk about your penis.
Yeah, and not talk about penis, because it's ultimately about, well,
seriously, it's pretty tough.
It's awkward, because it's about kids and whatnot. You cannot say bad things on camera for ostensibly a family-friendly show. But the second year that I got involved with it, Well, I should say the difference between the first year and the second year. In the first year,
it's not that we were not family friendly in the second year.
No. In the first year, I could barely remember the name of the game that they were playing, and I had never played, or I think I maybe watched a little bit of a Let's Play on YouTube, but I had absolutely zero experience in talking about the game Borderlands. So in the second year, I made it my mission that I would at least play through some of Borderlands 2, because that's the game that they played in the second year. And so I did my homework, and I got comfortable with the game. I mean, I only played it through with one character, so I can only speak of, you know,
like it shows, though.
The Gunzerker, yeah. So that afforded me to be able to have hosts who had no experience with it and still be able to carry on meaningful conversations with them. So, I mean, really, that taking the responsibility to educate myself just on a video game to be able to do my job better took me from just like an average volunteer or an average person standing in front of a camera to a much more competent, easy-flowing person. I mean, I'm not the best person to host, but I know personally when I actually did my homework, it paid off a lot. So that's a tangential explanation on why you should do your homework.
Now, so the other thing... and you had touched on this earlier, is I call it having a clear vision, mm-hmm. But you refer to it as knowing what you're trying to get out of it. And both of these, I think, are the same, or they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do with headshots is, and all of our volunteers, I tell them, know why you're here. Have a story that you can tell. Find out what your story is, because that narrative is going to help you connect with everyone who's here and with the audience. And at some point, I will come and ask you, because I really want to know why you're here with us instead of at home watching television. Mm-hmm. And that answer can be as profound as, you know, people who've had, you know, experiences being in the hospital or with their children in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But it can be as simple as they're trying to develop themselves either professionally or you know, get their community service hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this might sound a little controversial. At least I prefaced it when I was pitching mm-hmm. the idea to you. But some people might have a problem with the idea that whenever you volunteer, you're getting something out of it. And I think, like, to be a good volunteer, at least to really set yourself out from other people when you're volunteering, you really should be getting something out of the experience. Whether it is something that actually benefits you, like, for example... I work at a college here in town, and I would not have gotten that job had not I had the volunteer experience from one of the organizations that I volunteered with, because I demonstrated over a 2-year period. I was taking a lot of minutes, organizing committees, keeping track of documents, event planning and whatnot. So that experience, unpaid experience, is still experience nonetheless. Oh, yeah. And that's really what helped me to get my job at the college. So, I mean, you can go into a volunteer experience with the intent on getting something out of it. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get paid for it. The definition of volunteer usually includes no money, or at least no monetary gain. But that doesn't mean that you can't advance yourself professionally, or you can't get some sort of recognition out of it. So references or professional reputation can come out of it. Or you can go all the way down to what people usually think about volunteering, and you can do it before the warm fuzzies. There's something to be said about feeling good about volunteering. That's something that you don't get in paid work. And there is some psych studies about
that. I have the opposite of that.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, not the opposite of that in that, you know,
I feel hate.
I feel nothing but hatred and bitterness while I am helping children. No. I talk about it.
Cold scratchies. That'd be the opposite of warm fuzzies. I get the cold scratchies.
No, I don't, but I get the warm fuzzies like every other human being. Yeah. But I call it the crash. I think I wrote a post on it a few years ago, coming out of headshots, and it's that notion that, I mean, headshots, we spend 24 hours, I'm up for the whole thing. We spend 24 hours sort of going through and doing everything and making it happen and doing good works, and it's super energetic and super stressful, but at the same time, it is so wonderful, but coming down from that takes me like 2 weeks. Because I on the Monday, after we've done everything, after we've torn everything down, we've done all our wrap up, I go back to my job. And I love my job. But there is a moment, there are every minute is dominated by me thinking that nothing I do in the next 60 seconds will be as meaningful as the things that I did this weekend. And that feeling persists for about a week. That I feel terrible because I'm like, I could, what I want to do is just do headshots full time, which I know that I don't really want.
No.
I mean, I love it, but it's, I could never do it full time. That's madness.
No. Or as soon as it becomes like work.
Exactly. Yeah. As soon as it becomes work and stops being about helping people, it would stop being fun. It would stop being warm and fuzzy, but also it would just drive me insane. But even then, during the event, I get the warm fuzzies. And when I think about the event, we just spent the past weekend editing footage from last year's event, and I am reminded of all the great things that happened there. And it makes me feel really good that we managed to accomplish all these things. But I never look forward to that crash.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's so draining. I mean, the warm fuzzies ultimately come from the juxtaposition of, you know, like, it's almost like when I tried to climb a mountain in Alberta and failed, but then I climbed a mountain in Kenya back in 2007 and succeeded. I made it all the way up to the peak of Mount Kenya. So yeah, like the juxtaposition afterwards of, you know, I'm coming from this place where I had accomplished this or met this goal or reach this end, and then now I'm back in civilization.
Yeah, it's the fairy tale mentality. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, I have come home now, and everything is normal again. And but normal is somewhat more dissatisfying than it was.
Campbell's hero's journey.
Yeah.
Now we should link, if you don't know anything about that, we should link that.
We'll link that in the DVD. Reading. Oh yeah,
that's required.
Good times
for Star Wars at the very least.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess the last question is just why. I mean, why do it? I don't know that either of us is in a position to say why you should volunteer, but hopefully, I mean, I think that you should volunteer.
No,
I think that it will be better for you. I think that you will have fun. You will meet people and have experiences that you've never had before, and these are all good things for human beings to have. But I don't think that I am in a position to provide reasons for a random human. But I think if we share ours, they might resonate with you.
During our pre-work, I said three things, but I think I'm going to add a fourth one to it.
Oh my God, breaking the Holy Trinity.
I know. Normally I group everything in the threes. I like prime numbers like that.
Yeah, so, four is the first non-prime.
Yeah, well, one is not a prime, it doesn't count. But anyways, so the thing that I'm going to add to it is the eternal defense of humanities and whatnot is it opens you up to experiences that you wouldn't have had, and it makes you, I don't want to say it makes you a better...
So does meth.
So it does. It does. Helps you run cities and whatnot. Crack. It opens you up to experiences that you wouldn't have normally had, but it's kind of like the human condition thing, where it gives you a greater perspective on things. It's similar to arguments why you should travel. It opens you up to those things and allows you to broaden your horizons, see new things that you wouldn't have normally seen, and it challenges you. And I think challenging your worldview is ultimately a good thing. It makes you a better person, assuming you constructively meet those challenges. I mean, if it's not good for you to meet a challenge and then it reaffirms your biases, like, you know, yep, no, this thing is bad and I knew it was bad, instead of overcoming it in a constructive way. So I say that's what I would tack on. But going back to the Trinity, though, there are really three reasons why I volunteer, and they range from pragmatic to super fuzzy. The pragmatic is, as I said before, you can professionally develop from it. It does give you concrete skills. As a piece of advice, you know, coming out of university and whatnot, when you don't have a degree that readily lends itself to, you know, high-paying jobs, what everybody wants, especially in STEM, one way to help you is to buttress that with volunteer experience.
Yep.
It has to be intentional volunteer experience, or at least you have to learn how to connect the dots and write the story. You can't just say that I volunteered for 5 years, you know, doing something. I don't want to disparage anybody who does, you know, menial volunteer positions, because it's all important. But you can't just say, you know, I was doing this. You have to.
Yeah, it's not just about time served.
Yeah, you have to show kind of intentionality behind it. I did this because of this. Yeah. So if you can stitch it together, and if you can demonstrate the concrete skills that you got out of it, like organization, but more than organization, taking minutes, distribution of documents, managing volunteers. If you can show that you've done that, then that really helps you out, and that shows that you've been willing to do these things without being paid to do it.
Yeah.
It does reflect positively on your character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very pragmatic reason why to volunteer and why I volunteer. But the second one...
I'm going to steal your second one, actually. Because your second one is my first one.
The loyalty one?
Yeah. A lot of the time, that was how I started volunteering, was my friends were running charity events, or they were involved with charity events, and I wanted to help out because they're my friends. And that was how I wound up in, and again, that's a lot of what I started doing was hauling chairs, you know, set up, tear down, entertainment. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of volunteer entertainment. I've play music. I do juggling. I do magic. And I used to do that sort of all over town whenever I could. And I really want to get back into that. I've sort of fallen off my game with making videos and doing everything else, but I really miss just hanging out for a couple hours and playing guitar for kids,
mm-hmm.
or telling stories, or mm-hmm. you know, doing whatever. But that was a big part of it for me, was just I was there because my friends asked me, and I wanted to find a deeper reason than that. And sometimes, I mean, I can usually find one, but the first reason was just because someone I care about needs me to do this. They need someone to do this, and I'm here, and I have an option. I can say no, knowing that, you know, all I'm really going to do with that evening is play video games, or, you know, do a bit of writing or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can go and contribute to something that has a meaningful effect on people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Or helping people that you care about reach their goals.
Yes. Well, I mean that I would I think you're right to separate that, but I would also say that, mm-hmm. that is part of having a meaningful effect on people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I don't think I'd have anything else to add.
It's yeah, just, no, that totally just curbed the second point there.
A friend asks you, and you simply go and respond. You answer the call.
Yeah.
You know, that's really my second reason.
It's like helping people move.
Yeah. No.
I mean moving. I could do a whole episode about moving. I love talking about moving. I did a video about moving a little while ago. You can find it over Ryan's face. But it's that idea that volunteer work is like moving, in that it is often very demanding. I like one sort of one night event volunteer work is often pretty demanding physically, but it is how you find out who your real friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one really wants to go out of their way to do physically demanding things, in the same way that no one really wants to help people move. Everyone hates moving. But everyone needs friends to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do it by yourself. You can, but it is a lonely and horrible endeavor.
Or you can only do it when you're a student moving out of one residence room into the next.
You know, you can do it because you don't own any real stuff.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times.
Moving. What do you have? I have a futon and a hard drive full of MP3s.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's more poignant in your case because you're not... there's no allure for you when somebody drops a case of beer and says, want to help me move.
It's true.
Yeah. That would work with me. It's like, you know, hey, can you help me move for a couple hours? I got a case of beer. Everything's already boxed up. Which, by the way, if you're ever going to ask somebody to help you move...
Box your stuff up.
You better have it all packed, all ready, and so that all they have to do is walk in and pick up the boxes and move. That is, like, the worst sin when you ask your friends to help you move and you don't have everything packed. So, shame on you. Get it packed. But anyways, yes, case of beer, drop it down, want to help me move. Boom.
Yeah, and that wouldn't work. I mean, well, I work for pizza, but I mean, really, I do it. I always remember a couple friends of mine, Ryan, who does TBK with me. Mm-hmm. He was moving one day. He was moving in with his girlfriend, now fiance. And they texted me, and I'd just gotten a new thingy in my phone, and so I didn't have her number. So it was just like, hey, can you come and help me move? And I went, sure. Who is this? But my inclination was to say, yeah. Like obviously, if they have my number, they're probably either a wrong number or a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it's more likely they're a friend of mine, and I didn't really have anything much planned that day. So, of course, I will come and help them move. You know, that is my first inclination, even before figuring out who it is. Mm-hmm. Which I think partly speaks to my character, but at the same time, I don't want to brag about it because I don't like bragging about things that speak to my character. That is the limit of my humility right there. Anyway, what was your fourth reason? You had four reasons.
Yeah, so the third of the Trinity or the fourth in total.
I think we've broken up Trinity at this point. Once you add a fourth.
It's Trinity plus one.
Great.
Anyways.
This is how Catholicism got started.
I guess so, yeah.
It's Trinity plus.
Well, especially if the Trinity is not three discrete parts, but actually...
Oh, God, no, we're not doing a Catholicism episode. Not right. Now.
Anyway, so the third reason, it's a little bit harder to pin down in a concise way. The nearest I can get to it is altruism makes me feel good, but ultimately it fulfills me. I guess fulfills is probably the most concise way to say it is. You volunteer for something because you're fulfilled by it. You don't necessarily have to volunteer for the fulfillment because you can find fulfillment in your actual paid work. You can find fulfillment at home. You can find fulfillment in your hobbies. But, for example, I used to volunteer with the first aid team on campus. And I volunteered with them almost to the exclusion of my schoolwork. And at the same time, I was the president of the Philosophy Society. Not to say I neglected them, just to say that CRT came before everything else. And I, when I left CRT, I probably had the record, but we didn't actually keep formal records of this, but I had like 800 something volunteer hours registered. That was formal. That was meetings, training, and a few, and my shifts, taking first aid shifts. That didn't include all of the prep work. That didn't include going to conferences. That didn't include doing extra remedial, like giving extra remedial help to people who needed it to brush up on their skills or the research involved in advancing the team. So all of those things didn't all include into my official tally. My official tally was strictly shift work, meetings, and training. And I had over 800 hours. And that was, that was 800 hours among... 2.5 consecutive years and then one term afterwards.
Wow.
So I mean I threw myself into it and I found it incredibly fulfilling to the point now where I mean CRT was what informed ultimately my thesis topic on doing the ethics of first aid. And I guess if I say it on the internet I'm gonna have to follow through on it, but I think that in the next few years I'm gonna transition over and go to paramedicine school.
Can break your internet promise.
I guess I can. I guess we can just take the video down and nobody will know otherwise.
No.
We're going to edit that part out. But no.
I'm not going to retroactively edit out your broken promises, Ryan.
But I felt so fulfilled by the work, both on the leadership side of it. So having because I was one of the co-leaders of the team, the co-coordinators, and I did that for four straight terms, which in that current time frame had been unprecedented. Nobody else had run the team. No one single person had been a coordinator for four straight terms. The team has been around for over a decade, but before I joined, roughly the 2008 period, I don't know if anything like that had happened before, but in the modern incarnation, it had never happened.
So I will add one to your Trinity Plus. Yeah. Probably the most obvious one, which is you should volunteer if you feel a deep connection to the cause.
Mm.
I mean, whether it's, like, we do Headshots work for Child's Play, mm-hmm. Which helps kids in children's hospitals and domestic violence shelters. I've done work with the homeless because I've spent a lot of time being at risk. Mm. And, you know, there's everyone has their cause, their thing that makes them sit up and pay attention and empathize with people. And if that is your thing, like, once you find it, you can find opportunities for that. Hmm. And I mean, part of that, I think, unpacks into fulfillment, but more it's less about sort of the personal fulfillment and more about fulfilling the needs of other people. Like, for my mom, it's cats. Hmm. And that was, like, the lion's share of her volunteer work in governance is in rescuing and working with feral cats.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said for finding the thing you care about. Because that, I think, more than anything, will help you commit to it. It will help you work hard at it. And you will ultimately do better at it because if you're just in it for professional development, I am going to say disparaging things about people who are just in it for professional development.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if that is the extent of it, I can't follow you that much, but I think that you would be better off. And I think that people who do... I have done volunteering specifically for professional development. I am one of the people that I am describing. I have to confess to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from doing it that I would have been better off if I had also been doing something I cared really deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was a volunteer commitment that I eventually let go because you know, I couldn't prioritize it properly, and I didn't feel like I was giving it the attention it deserved, because I wasn't as committed to it as I was other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're in it for professional development, find something you care about and do that, because then you can get two birds with one stone, because you can get the fulfillment and the helping people you care about and the professional development. And that is two birds plus.
Trinity. Just don't do it. Don't do it to get the title or to be able to say, yeah, we know lots of people who get involved with things just to say or to put it on their CV or whatever. I mean, I guess you're volunteering, but
I don't know those people.
Well, we know a few people who make the circles but don't actually do any work.
But we did not start this podcast to say disparaging things about people.
No, that's why I won't say their names.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But we will see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yep.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan. And we're going to sign off. Stay awesome.